This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
This reading is taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Hear the word of the Lord.
And our New Testament reading today is from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of their only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For those who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, not only to hear your word with our ears, but also to receive it into our hearts and to show it forth in our lives for the glory of your great name. Amen. Please do be seated. It's great to see you here and great to see those who are watching online. Now today, we're starting our Advent and Christmas series on the light of the world, which is one of the titles in John's Gospel that he's given there. And it tells us who Jesus is and why he's come. But what is the first thing that God says? He says, "Let there be light." Before the beginning of time itself, there was only an empty void. There was no order, only the chaos of nothingness and deep darkness. There was no beauty, truth, or goodness. There was, outside of God, no being, no existence. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And so God gave his light to the creation. He gives it its extraordinary diversity and its deep coherence. His light was the force of its being, his energy, and the shape and the substance of it all. His light gives the world its beauty. His own glory shines out from every tiny seed and from every giant star. As the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins said, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God." His light gives the world its truth. There is a universe. This is a universe which is coherent and meaningful. It has purpose. The more we study it, the more sense we find in it. It opens itself up to our inquiring and curious minds. And God's light gives to the world its goodness. That was God's own judgment on his handiwork in Genesis chapter 1. You remember that refrain when God saw what he had made. He said that it was good. His light is his pure character, his holiness, and his justice. On Friday morning, I went for a walk, as I often do, along the coastal track from Bondi to Bronte. With a friend of mine in the bright sunshine. We got to Bronte and we walked all the way back and then we jumped in the waves at Bondi. It's just a little bit cool in the water, so if that just felt brilliant. Then we walked out across the sand And he turned to me and he stated the bleeding obvious. He said, you know, it's good to be alive. It's good to be alive, isn't it? Who could deny it? It's wonderful to be alive in the world to which God gave and continues to give his beauty and truth and his goodness, his light. And yet, there is a darkness that hangs over our world, a deep darkness. And there is a darkness in the human heart. There is a perversity in our nature that makes us shy of God's life-giving light, even though we can't live without it. We continue to prefer darkness, not light. Or actually, it's more complex than that. That's the funny thing, or rather the tragic thing about human beings. We both love God's light and fear it at the same time. We want the light to triumph. That's why we tell stories about beauty, truth, and goodness winning all the time. We want that light to triumph, but then we'd like to take cover in darkness, because the darkness gives us the cover under which we can do what we really want to do. We crave order, but we revel in chaos. I was speaking just the other day to a tax lawyer that I met at the gym. It's okay, I didn't have to go and consult a tax lawyer, so this was free consultation. And he was reflecting. I asked him, as I often do, I said, so, you know, what does your profession tell you about humanity, about humankind? And he said, well, look, after many years as a tax lawyer, this is what I've learnt in my line of work. And he rather world-wearily turned to me and said, you know, people will do whatever they can get away with. We need the light, but we love the darkness. And we see the effects of this encroaching darkness all around us. You may be in the midst of a form of that darkness yourself. But also, right now, we could readily say that humankind faces a crisis of meaning. 2020 has made this more than evident to us. We live in the era of fake news, deep mistrust, conspiracy theories. We delight not in the truth, but in lies. We've started to believe that the more lies we tell, the more we can get away with it. Even people who aren't professing Christians complain to me of the loss of common values and the breakdown of trust. And at the same time, we don't want to give up the freedom that we have it all our own way. So what will become of the light? Will the light be snuffed out? Will the darkness overcome it? Now, a Pharisee called Nicodemus once came to Jesus under the cover of darkness. And we hear about that in John chapter 3. We heard an excerpt from John chapter 3 read for us earlier. And he was obviously intrigued by Jesus and his teaching. And yet he didn't want the others to see him sneaking to see Jesus. So he went to him under the cover of night. Who was Jesus, he wondered, and why had he come? Jesus, he asked, will you please enlighten me? And Jesus tells him, I am the light who has been sent by God into the world. Now, our passage today from verses 16 to 21 is part of what Jesus tells Nicodemus. And it begins with one of the most famous verses in the Bible. I hope your ears pricked up when it was read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And then Jesus went on, indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Why has Jesus come? He's come to save the world. He's come to bring eternal life to the world so that people might not know the darkness of death, separated as they are, as we are, from the source of life, baffled and blinded in our confusion. Jesus' mission was not to condemn the world or to pronounce the last rites over its dying body. He came to announce and to deliver God's good news of salvation with the same power that the world was created. And what was God's motive? Why did he send the Son? What does it say? Non-rhetorical question. Why? Because he loved the world. That was God's motive for sending the Son. It was from his extraordinary love that Jesus came. The measure of God's love for the world is found in Jesus. God gave the world his light in the first place out of his great love. Now, a second time, he sends his light to the world in order to save it because, why? Because he loves it. We should never forget this about the God of Jesus Christ. His light is not an impersonal force. The light of life and of salvation does not ooze out of him like blood out of a cut. His light is an expression of his love, of his deliberate intention, will, and desire to love. And what's the way to receive the love of God shown for us in the Son of God? Well, we are to believe in him. Everyone, Jesus says, who believes in him will not perish and will not be condemned. The saving light that has come into a dark world, it has come into a dark world, and all we need to do is to step into the light. Those who believe in him, in other words, come into his light. But that's where the story gets a bit complicated. You can see that in verses 18 and 19. Because when Jesus, the Son of God, the true light that gives light to everyone, comes into the world from the great love of God, not everyone believes in him. Not everyone steps into his light. He's accepted by some, but rejected by others. See what he says. Those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. This is one of the tragedies of human being, that our response to Jesus is always so mixed. The light of our salvation comes into the world, and yet we are unable, in our perverse love of the darkness, in our preference for evil, to take hold of that salvation. And Jesus says this is actually a judgment. This actually proves that people love the veil of darkness so much that they would rather stick with darkness than go with the light. Perversely and sadly, sometimes human beings would rather do anything than accept the grace of God. I witnessed this perversity in human nature once a few years back. We had one of those Saturdays here at St. Mark's with two weddings in the one day. Had one yesterday, and this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And at the last minute, though, the second wedding in the day had changed the time but hadn't told us until a couple of days before and made their wedding a bit earlier, so that the two weddings were now a little bit dangerously close in time in the afternoon. Now, this would have been okay. There was actually plenty of time. But when we told the first wedding party, they were really unhappy about it. And on the day of the wedding, the mother of the bride made sure that she was 45 minutes late. The bell started ringing 15 minutes before 2 o'clock and was still ringing 45 minutes after 2 o'clock. It was a very nice peal of bells that afternoon. She wanted to send a clear message to that second wedding party about her displeasure. Darling Point, in between the two weddings, was heaving with traffic, with people gussied up to the nines because they were coming and going from this wedding, people thinking they were late or early for one wedding or the other. And I thought, you know, what a twisted thing. But how human, that you'd rather enjoy your vengeance against a perceived slight against you, then just enjoy your own daughter's wedding day. But this is so, as I said, very human. And it's the kind of thing we see when we prefer the darkness of sin to the light of God in Jesus Christ. When we prefer the chaos to his beauty, truth, and goodness. When we slap away the hand stretched out in love to save us. What are we doing? When we run away and hide from him, I'm not sure we always know ourselves. But Jesus explains it somewhat in verse 20. Just have a look there at verse 20. He says, for all the psychological insight, spiritual insight here, for all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. And here's maybe what makes us hang back from God's light. It's the fear of being exposed, isn't it? Because God's light, even as it saves us, reveals the truth about us. And I have to say, I don't find that a comfortable thought. And I think most of us don't find that a comfortable thought. To come forward into the light means admitting that you are a sinner in need of the mercy of God. When you come into the presence of complete goodness and absolute truth and extraordinary beauty, how can you and I hope to stand? I know you fear the light. I do too. But we need to let it come. We need to let it expose us. You fear being found out. But God's goodness comes with this light. Whereas in the darkness, there is only shame and chaos, destruction and death. But here's the other thing. When we come into the light, we can stand in it. Because Jesus, the light of God, has been sent into the world to save the world. When we come into his light, we come into a light that shines radiant with God's love. We are exposed by the one who does not want to shame us, but to love us. God's concern is your life. Now, when I go to the doctor down in Edgecliff Centre there, now I sometimes go and tell him and show him things I won't show anyone else. I expose my body to him because I know he won't shame me or judge me. Although, actually, one time I did say, look, I've got this sort of thing going here. What do you think? Could you have a look at it? And the bloke said, oh, don't worry about that. That's an old man wart. I thought, well, you know how to hurt a guy. It's gone, just in case you're worried. But he does not want to shame me or expose me or judge me because he wants to use my vulnerability to heal me. He won't laugh at my gut or at the spots on my back, nor will he condemn me if I tell him that I've been feeling down. And I know that coming to the doctor will save me is for my benefit, since his concern is my life. God's concern is your life. And so he sends his son, the light that has come into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save it. Not to condemn you, but to save you. Even if you're afraid, know that you are coming to the one who wants to save you, whose concern is your life. So this morning, if you've never come into God's light, can I urge you today to come to him, the source of all goodness in our world. Seek him and believe in him. The path out of your own personal darkness leads to Jesus. He is God's goodness and truth and beauty, all those things you know from the world that you so richly and deeply enjoy, that we just love. He is that in the flesh. So step forward into his light. He will not put you to shame, Jesus says in verse 20, those who do, actually it's better translated, those who live by what is true, come into the light. Seeking the truth will lead you to him and to a new way of life, so that it may be clearly seen, says Jesus, that your deeds have been done in God. And if you are living in the light already, can I urge you to keep coming to him and to keep avoiding, keep putting back the darkness? There are so many ways in which the darkness threatens us and crowds in. So many shadows that are thrown over us. There are so many ways in which we try to hide from God, to put that cloak of invisibility over us. But begin today by at least admitting to God the truth about you. We're the children of the light, as we learnt from the book of Ephesians just a few weeks ago. And that means that we continue to seek and to live by the truth and the beauty and the goodness of God in Jesus Christ, that light that he shines on and through us, to let that light expose us, but also to refine us and to shape us, to transform us, so that God's unquenchable light may ever more brightly shine in this dark world, a light that shines in the darkness such that the darkness will never overcome it. So let the light in. Jesus has come, and he will not put us to shame. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.